This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Each and every day here on the Jeff Calkins Show, we welcome Chris Harrington to the program. Let's fire it up. Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
It is a Letter Dance by the Bobby Fuller Four, mid-60s hit. Some people may know as the closing credits music from the movie Fantastic Mr. Fox, continuing our big dance
theme. That's where I've heard
songs this.
This
week.
I was like, I think I've heard this, but I couldn't remember where. That is indeed where it is. Have you enjoyed trying to find dance songs in honor of the tournament?
Well, you know, I used to do a radio show for at WYXR, the community music station based across town, which I don't do anymore. I haven't done that for a couple years. But I did that for about 3 years, and my show was I came up with a different theme every week. So I actually did a two-hour dance song show, so I just, like, pull up my playlist from that show on my phone. I have a whole list right there.
That's the importance also, though, of cataloging. So don't just make the list, save the list. To me, like, that's the lesson in that.
Well, and I when I was doing the show, I would formulate my playlist on Spotify. I would play the songs on actual physical records when I did the show. But I would come up with my playlist on Spotify because then I could see the total length of the show. And so I actually have all those playlists on Spotify from all my radio shows.
All right, let's get to the Grizzlies because, I don't know, you know, everyone's riding the roller coaster. But I just kind of wanted to look at it this way. The Grizzlies with Ja Morant this year, they're 28-13. They're 15-13 without him. How much of vibe, the way everybody's feeling, is just you don't have your point guard a lot, and that these are the games they don't have their point guard currently, and that's kind of as the season ticks down and the standings get tight, emotions raise, and not having him out there, it feels like, seems to elevate the reaction from people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that. I would make it even slightly broader than that and talk about, you know, those top three guys and getting them to play together. I think the core sort of the fundamentals of this roster haven't really changed much over the course of the season, even though I think we can look at it and say, you know, maybe they got worse, not better at the trade deadline. But the core, the fundamentals of the roster is sort of what it's been all season. They are a deep team in the sense that, like, they have guys all the way to the bottom of the roster that you could throw in and help you. Or maybe that was more true earlier in the season, but that's generally true. Like, they have pretty good 10th and 11th men relative to the league. And they have a strong top three, I think, relative to the league. The weaknesses are the 4, 5, 6, 7, like they're middle of the roster. The guys who really matter in the playoffs are maybe not as strong as a lot of other contenders. And then they can't keep their top three on the floor enough. And those are the two problems. Like, if you had a slightly better 4, 5, 6, 7 on your pecking order, and then your top three like played, you know, 80% of the time instead of 30% of the time in terms of all playing together, I think you feel a lot better about the team. There's nothing you can do about the middle of the rotation right now. Like, that's just baked in. You just hope Santi Aldama gets healthy, but like, your players are your players. And so it really comes down to, can you get Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson all playing basketball at the same time? And that's not happening right now. You know, Ja's missing the games. When he was on his hot streak, Jaren was out with the ankle thing. It's been like Marco Polo with those guys all season. And so the big mystery is, like, when the playoffs start, are you going to have all three of those guys healthy and, like, playing 37 minutes a game all together? And if so, this team's going to look a lot better.
I wanted to ask you this, because about the 4, 5, and 6. I understand Jaren's not on a max deal, and in fact, Jaren's on a team-friendly deal. But when you have,
right,
I think, what is it? I think it's roughly 70% of the salary cap tied up into three players. How realistic is it for the Grizzlies to have quality 4, 5, and 6 guys?
Well, it makes it harder to obtain. You sort of wanted to get those guys in the building before you have the next Jaren contract.
Yeah,
and you still might have one more summer to do that, even if he. You know, qualifies, he makes all NBA, qualifies for the Supermax, and he gets that or something. You don't have to do the full Supermax just because he qualifies for it. That'll be interesting to see this summer. But assuming he gets a big deal this summer, but it's one that doesn't kick in for another year.
Right.
He'll still be on the same contract next summer. Now, if they did the renegotiate and extend thing, which some people speculate about, that would raise his salary next season. And I think it's better to like have the flexibility this summer to add. But then that gets into the question of, it gets into a few questions. One is that it's now harder. You know, you wanted to have those guys in the door already, which was the idea of Marcus Smart, and it didn't work out. But then it gets into the question of, okay, are they going to pay the tax or not? And maybe if Jaren's contract doesn't kick in for another year, maybe they can avoid it again next season. But if you want to add someone meaningful who's a vet and lock them up for multiple seasons, that's probably going to mean going into the tax once Jaren's new deal kicks in. And they've always suggested they'd be willing to do that when the time came, but I don't think it's a thing that you could have faith in until it happens at this point. And so that's one of the questions that's out there. But I do think in the absence of, you know, the Marcus Smart thing not working out, I think this summer, and, you know, we have basketball to play that matters in the rest of this season, I think this summer there's going to be a real microscope on, are they willing to or able to add a meaningful rotation player with NBA experience to what they already have.
Forgive my ignorance, but is there, let's say Jaren wins either Defensive Player of the Year or finishes in the top three all NBA teams and is eligible for the extension. Is there any reason that you would renegotiate? And then, because that, to me, it's like,
no,
that the extension, like, is there any way that, the only reason they would do that is if he misses both options,
yeah,
correct?
No, I think they were trying to keep the door open for a renegotiate and extend in the event he did not qualify for Supermax.
Right, because in fairness, so at the time, Wimby wasn't hurt, and, you know, I mean, he could have still made third team All-NBA, but he wasn't, at the time, he was not a favorite and an overwhelming favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year.
And still now, like, it's not a lock. I think he's headed for that. In fact, I think he'll be second team. But, like, he's still, like, you know, he hasn't hit the games mark yet. He didn't come back earlier than expected from the ankle. He's on pace to hit it and exceed it. But it hasn't actually technically happened yet. So he has to at least hit the mark to begin with. And then, like, if the Grizzlies struggle down the stretch, like, you know, who knows? I think he'll make it. I think he'll be second team, not even third team. I think he'll be second team. But so if that happens, I think they will come to some agreement with him, whether it's the full Supermax or something less than that if you're able to do because of the eligibility. I think they'll come to an agreement with him this summer. But then you got the question of, are you just relying on the internal growth of the guys you have to fill out around Ja, Jaren, Dez, or are you going to go out and try to add another piece that's going to be, you know, a veteran who would be in that 4, 5, 6, 7 range in your pecking order, right?
You and I talked about, we think one of the cases for Jaren's Defensive Player of the Year should be put in the tape when he's on the floor and put in the tape when he's off the floor. It's largely the same people, and see how one is a good defense and the other's god-awful.
Right.
is there kind of a lesser case, but for Santi in the same thing? Like, I feel like a huge piece of what they're missing, especially when you see them trying to go this deep into the rotation, is I feel like this should bring up an elevated appreciation of how good Santi actually has been.
No, I agree. And part of that is Santi, and part of that is just the rest of the roster. But, like, there was a question going into the season, like, who's going to be the fourth best player on this team? And the idea was that it was supposed to be Marcus Smart. I was skeptical of that. I said at the beginning of the season, like, it needs to be Vince Williams or Zach Edey. It hasn't been either of those guys. It's been Santi Aldama, who's been the fourth best player on the team. And that's part of, like, you know, someone has to be that, right? But also, he's made a real good step forward. He's been, I think, among the five or six best bench players in the league. We talk about six-man kind of guys. I think he's among the handful of the better ones this season. And he just brings a dynamism to the team in terms of being 7 foot tall, who can handle the ball and make shots. He just adds a real boost to what you can do offensively that I think they have sorely missed in his absence. And he upgraded again. We talked about it a couple of days ago. He had upgraded from out to doubtful for the last game. He's upgraded from doubtful to questionable for tonight. So, you know, that's a positive trend line, obviously. We'll see if he hits the floor.
Okay, I'm not going to tell you matchup, but I am going to tell you the Grizzlies in a first-round series would have Ja available, Jaren available, Dez available, Santi, Brandon, and Luke. How would you feel about the chances of that team heading into the playoffs?
I feel pretty good about it. And this is some stuff I've done some research on. I'm going to wait until a little bit closer to the playoffs to write about it. But when you think about what changes from playoffs to regular season to playoffs, one of the things is that you're just not playing the bottom of your roster anymore. And so if you compare the Grizzlies top nine guys to other teams' top nine guys and just erase everyone else, it, the numbers change on that. The other thing that happens is your stars play more. So if you compare the Grizzlies' top three, like when they all play relative to other teams when their top threes all play, when you crunch the numbers on both of those questions, the numbers get more favorable for the Grizzlies than the total regular season numbers do. I think there is more room for improvement for the Grizzlies relative to their competition when you start nipping around the edges and playing your stars more and playing the bottom of your roster less. And so I think that portends fairly well. I think that makes me a little more optimistic about them. But you got to actually be able to do that. And that's sort of the mystery right now.
Yeah, and that kind of like leads me to the question of, isn't the Grizzlies' biggest issue right now, it's not necessarily roster construction, but it is roster availability?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think their wing situation has not worked out. They had a lot of answers, and like none of them, and most of them, I mean, Jaren Wells has certainly exceeded expectations, but in other ways, like, you know, the thumbs up, thumbs down across the board on the wing has had more thumbs down answers than thumbs up in terms of what you were hoping to get. So I think that's been a roster construction issue, but you can paper over a lot of that stuff when, like, you have all your best guys and your best guys are playing, and that has certainly not been the case.
Yeah, because like I definitely get what you're saying, but I almost think like I also wonder sometimes if they bang their head against the wall. It's like I understand Luke Kennard is not the world's greatest defender, but it's not like they've been replacing him with guys that have just been locked down. It's like at a certain point, it's like why not try to go with a little bit more offense? And like to me, if you had a real defensive option, I get it. But, like, no one's really stepped up at this point.
Well, I mean, they haven't. I guess what I take from that is you're talking about, like, the question of starting Luke alongside John.
Yeah, like, to me, like, sorry.
And the numbers on that are great. The sample is unusually small, and they've shrunk tested out more. They have, like, Luke, there was a time during the season where Luke was sort of fading a little bit, and he's come back around, like, they haven't started him with John Dez, but like when Ja's out, Luke's been starting. You know, they haven't gone with Scottie Pippen as the starter. They've leaned into Luke more, and I think he has firmly established himself as someone they're going to rely on in the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, they found themselves 2 years ago in the playoffs when stuff wasn't working out, decided, okay, let's lean into Luke, and then he got hurt.
Yes,
and
that was
the moment.
I remember specifically, I asked him the following media day when I was doing an interview. I was like, so how was it to finally get the opportunity in the playoffs, and like everyone is like, just yeah, Luke, go, and then you immediately hurt your shoulder. Like, he's like, yeah, that felt kind of like my career at certain points.
So, yeah, I mean, I think given, I mean, to your point about the defensive stuff you thought was going to work out not working out, namely Marcus Smart and a banged-up Vince Williams, maybe they do find themselves just leaning into their offense, and that would be more Luke Kennard, more Santi Aldama. I mean, you think about that. I think you were asking about that yesterday. You think about that as a lineup. Like, that's a blistering offensive lineup, and the Grizzlies have frankly just been outscoring people when they win for the most part this year anyway, and maybe they lean into that.
All right, I wanted to kind of go through some. Well, let me ask you this. So the Grizzlies have 13 games remaining. In your mind, what should the goal be for those 13 games? I keep it as broad as possible, like that, so you can go any way that you want.
Well, I think seeding matters, and I think matchup matters. But the two most important things, like the two first boxes that you need to check are, you know, avoid the play-in, which I think they're fairly safe to do. You have them in a three-game lead with 13 to go. But, like, that's not, you know, if you go on a losing streak and Golden State stays hot, like, that could get dangerous. So that is the place where the seeding, I think, matters the most, or matters more than anything, is you got to avoid the play-in and, like, be in the playoffs. And then second to that is having your guys healthy. I think having your roster healthy for the playoffs is more important than whether you're the second, third, fourth, or fifth seed. And that really gets into the John Morant question. If this, you know, with a hamstring soreness, like, I don't know enough. I don't know anything about that other than what they put on their injury report. But is that the kind of thing where you shut a guy down for 2 weeks just because, you know, you want to be careful with it, even if that costs you a seed or two in the standings? I think we would all like to see them have their guys on the floor at this point. But we're getting to the point where we're sort of running out of time in the regular season to see that. And you just don't want to compromise it for the playoffs if you don't have to. So I think that having your guys healthy and while avoiding the play-in, that's the base level of what they need to do. And that's disappointing relative to where they were a few weeks ago when we're talking about trying to be the two seed. And they could still be the two seed. They're only acting game out of the two seed.
Yeah.
But I would not go all out for that if you think it's going to compromise the health of the guys you need in the playoffs, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think most sports medicine people would tell you hammies are really tricky because even if you say, like, all right, we think shutting him down 2 weeks will be for the better. Well, there are certain situations where a guy comes back like a week later and he's good to go and it's fine. There's other situations where you shut a guy down for 2 weeks and you didn't really have much improvement. It's just hammies are very, very difficult. All right.
This is why I'm not saying what they should or shouldn't do, because I don't have the info. But I just think it's something you have to be careful about. You have to put his health above everything else right now.
Okay, let's say we get to the playoffs and Ja is at the level that he was pre-hamstring. So I still think he's got the shoulder. I still think the hip is not a nothing burger. Sorry, Coach Torrey, for a double negative there. But let's say he's at that level that he was before the hamstring. How much faith do you have in Ja Morant as a playoff point guard at that point?
I think Ja Morant was playing great before this recent injury, in all six games of it, right?
Yep.
The shooting thing is a concern, but to me, he is so good in so many other ways that I think he can be great in playoff basketball. He's been great playoff basketball without that. So I have a lot of belief in the capacity of a Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson trio in playoff basketball at this point if they're all healthy. And I think those three can win you games and win you series in the playoffs if they're all right. The question with Ja is not just does he arrive in the playoffs fully intact and, you know, the guy we were watching a week ago, is can he maintain it?
Yeah.
You know, if they're going to advance in the playoffs, if they're going to be competitive into a second round series, which is, I think, what we would like to see, he's going to have to play more than six straight games, you know, for them to do that probably. And he hasn't done that in 2 years. And so it's one thing to show up intact, and then the other thing is staying that way.
So setting aside those three, how many other players do you have confidence in?
Oh, I think we know what Brandon Clark is. Brandon Clark has been good for them in the playoffs before. We know he's been good when he's played this year. The question of Brandon Clark is, like, can he elevate the minutes or not? He is not a guy who's consistently played 25-plus. He's been more of a 20-minute guy. But I feel great about Brandon Clark. And after that, you do have question marks. So Kamara's offense outweighs his defense. Does, you know, Santi Aldama has not quite done this in playoff basketball yet. You know, he was a little bit more of a marginal player last year. And then you got, you know, rookies and unproven guys at that point, Jalen Wells and Zach Edey and Scottie Pippen and Vince Williams, I think the next guys in line. So I think there's a lot of questions after the four guys they've had for years at this point, and Ja, Dez, Jaren, and Brandon Clark.
Are you excited for Klingon versus Edey?
I think it's fitting that we embark on our NCAA tournament experience with an appetizer of a Donovan Klingon Zach Edey rematch.
Yes.
You know, that's really a way to get the party started. I'm looking forward to that. You know, Portland's played a lot better lately. I mean, this is a team that really blew out twice in November, and they have won. I looked at it; they were 13-28 at one point, so they're 17-11 since then. Since the trade deadline, the Grizzlies have the 16th best net rating, or best worst, however you want to think about it. They ranked 16th in net rating league wide since the trade deadline. Portland's ranked 15th. So, like, you know, and Portland's at home, and there's no John Morant, and so, you know, definitely not one to take for granted. I don't think any Grizzlies fans are taking any games for granted lately, though.
Chris, we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian. Go check out the podcast that he has done with Drew Hill. Drew, of course, will be with us tomorrow, so that you can get a little taste of what we'll be having on the show the next couple of days. Let's take a break. When we come back, Jeff's going to rejoin the program. Sam Hardiman joins us as well. Stick around. You're listening to the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Sam Hardiman. Before then, I will tell you, if you need anything framed, go to the place that's been doing custom framing in Memphis for not 10 years, not 20 years, not 30 years, not 40 years, but 50 years over at the Frame Corner. You know they're good at their job when they've been here for 50 years, celebrating their 50th year in Memphis. You walk on in there with sports memorabilia, wedding photos, beautiful piece of art, whatever it is that you need framed, and the Frame Corner will handle it for you. 5035 Park Avenue. It's the Frame Corner, framecornermemphis.com. Sam Hardiman joins me now. He, of course, writes for the Daily Memphian. We talked to him about the goings on in the city. Do you wager on the NCAA tournament? Do you have your bracket, Sam? Where are you on the NCAA tournament?
I'm like in the process of both wagering and filling out those brackets now. In the process.
Okay, give us one tasty upset.
No.
Well, that's good. That's fine. I appreciate that. You know, that is its boundaries, Sam. People, my wife is a therapist, and she talks to me about boundaries all the time. So I appreciate your ability to do that. I wish you the best of luck in filling out your bracket and in your wagers. But I was looking at what you've written lately, and I have to say, I had an intense sense of deja vu reading some of the pieces over at the Daily Memphian. Because, for example, we have the Memphis City Council giving approval to the XIA land deal. This is for the wastewater facility in Southwest Memphis. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And it was interesting because here's a paragraph from your piece, and I'd urge people to read it over at the Daily Memphian. This is to build a wastewater facility, $80 million, save billions of gallons of fresh drinking water, etc. And here we have this. The sale drew broad pushback from members of the community who expressed concern about how XAI has operated in Memphis and the natural gas turbines that power the company's supercomputer. So two things. One is, how does this manifest itself? Is there public comment? Is that what's happening here?
That's right. Yes, public comment.
So people step forward, and I guess my question is, it sounds like the pushback was more general criticism of XAI rather than anyone particularly objecting to this wastewater facility. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, there were multiple commenters yesterday, and this is, first I want to do a mea culpa. Last time we talked about the wastewater treatment plant, I said it was done, that the sale had been approved, and then I was reminded of a little-known ordinance in the city code that requires any land deals the city is entering into to be approved twice if they're greater than $20,000.
Hence the deja vu. Hence the deja vu. Yeah, okay.
Yes. And I said on this program that it was done, and it was incorrect, and so I must mea culpa.
Okay.
But yeah, so yesterday during public comment, there were about a dozen speakers, and multiple speakers, okay? We're essentially saying, look, we need to save the water, okay? The water is good, but we don't trust what they're doing with the turbines. We don't trust Elon Musk. Look what Elon Musk is doing to the government. Look at what the broad implications of artificial intelligence could be in terms of employment of people, right? And so there's this Musk effect happening, right, where a lot of people are really angry at Elon Musk. Congressman Steve Cohen had a town hall last night that we reported on at the Daily Memphian where hundreds of people showed up. He was very critical of Elon Musk and President Donald Trump. That's what's happening here. There isn't really this rejection of, we should keep guzzling water in Memphis, Tennessee, fresh water that people could drink and future generations could drink. It's just much more, we don't like AI, we don't like these turbines, and we don't trust Elon Musk.
Well, and the idea that you may not trust Elon Musk seems, reasonable. And so The problem is that it doesn't seem to me that there's any legitimate reason to not do this water treatment facility, right? And so I guess the question is, where then, for people who are like, okay, fine, I'm happy there's this wastewater treatment facility, but what about these turbines and what about a general distrust of Elon Musk and what he's doing? Where is my vehicle, as it were, to express that unhappiness? Because the turbines really weren't on the table yesterday. Is that right? I mean, the turbines weren't something that...
Yeah, because the turbines aren't something the Memphis City Council can regulate. The city of Memphis does not have a health department, okay? That falls to the Shelby County Health Department, which governs air emissions in Shelby County, except when it doesn't, and leaves that to the Environmental Protection Agency, right? And so what yesterday was, and Keyshawn Pearson of Memphis Community Against Pollution explained this to me after the vote. We spoke in the hallway, and he said, and I didn't use this for the piece, I'll probably use it for a future piece, but he said this was our democratic means, right? We haven't had any real opportunity in the democratic process to voice ourselves against this project, right? And so this was our vehicle. And so what I would say is that there is probably another vehicle coming, and I'm not trying to foreshadow, I'm not trying to be cryptic here, but there is, you know, the possibility that the Shelby County Commission maybe could do something. There was discussion yesterday during this public comment, which I thought was quite interesting, of the idea of a moratorium on data centers, okay, which probably wouldn't stop the second XAI data center, which is already broken ground and is moving a ton of earth down in Whitehaven right now, but it could maybe stop one in the future. And so maybe what we're now going to start to see is maybe a political movement that is designed at stopping further development from XAI, rather than reacting to what has been a very fast-moving private target.
Is there any way that they can put pressure or express their opinion to the health department? Because the city council, the city doesn't have one, but there is a health department that does ultimately regulate these turbines, right?
Yeah, there is. And so when and if the health department approves the air emissions permit for these turbines to be used permanently, right now they're running without an air emissions permit. There will be a public comment period, and so people will be allowed to make public comment during that time. But is that really a means of stopping anything? Not really. And I think that's where we might see further action going forward.
All right. More deja vu. The $80 million for FedEx Forum to start the renovation project, and hopefully a process that leads to a new lease for the Grizzlies. What happened there?
Yeah, I mean, it like we reported, you know, almost a month ago now when the Memphis City Council last met, they just had about a month-long break. That had cleared committee a month ago. It formally cleared the City Council yesterday. And, I mean, this vote, I kid you not, it lasted about 35 seconds. The item was read.
Could have had a shot clock, yeah.
Canales said call the roll. The roll was called. The remaining council members, you know, several had left by this point at the meeting, going on to other things. They cast their votes. It was over. But we wanted to acknowledge and reflect that this $80 million is now headed to the Memphis and Shelby County Sports Authority, where it will likely be doled out in the next few months.
All right. And then the other piece, and this is not deja vu. This is this was fresh and really interesting to me. Not that the others weren't and have been and are important. But this one is, I wasn't aware of this this situation at all, and it has to do with police overtime and special events. And you lead with the scene at FedEx Forum with Memphis police officers clustering around downtown. Who pays for the police to work during special events? That was sort of your analysis. What'd you discover?
Yeah, so last week I obtained a presentation that MPD compiled in early March, which was an annual review of the overtime. If anyone can hear the dog barking, that is my neighbor Pablo. Hope he's doing well. And what is going on with the police overtime is last year, and this is a very small amount of total police overtime, MPD worked about $1.3 million worth of overtime at first special events. So that's sporting events, Grizzlies games, Tigers games, Redbirds games, the St. Jude Marathon, security details for when dignitaries come to town. And of that $1.3 million, only about $400,000 of that was actually paid for by the entity requesting the service for the special event. There was a whole bunch of police overtime that MPD just ate, didn't even bill you, didn't even bill whatever entity was asking for the special event. And so what MPD did and said in their presentation, which we obtained at the Daily Memphian, please check it out on our website, support our journalism, is that we need a good process. MPD is like, we need a good process to bill these people. We need to actually get a collections process. So when we bill you and you haven't paid, how are we actually collecting that? And so it was very sort of eye-opening to me. Members of the city council for months have sort of been harping on this issue because they're the ones who passed the city budget. And every dollar counts, right? Essentially, the city ate about $900,000 in overtime last year for these special events. And $900,000 pays for resurfacing a new playground, okay? That pays for replacing the escalators that have been long out at Benjamin Hooks Library, right? These are things that, like, add up.
How do they determine who they don't bill? So it says, however, it billed on organizations for $785,000 of the $1.3 million, and it received $355,000 in payment. So how do they determine who gets a bill and who doesn't get a bill?
Yeah, I mean, I really don't think I can answer that question. And given from what I read in the presentation, I'm not sure MPD really knows. Yeah, it's sort of a pretty irregular process. I think, you know, some of these, and I'm want to stay away from speculation here, but there are a lot of things in Memphis government and government in general that are just sort of practices that aren't questioned. And this is sort of one of these practices that by MPD doing this review, right, they're beginning to question. Yeah. They're beginning to question, why are we giving this away for free?
I was going to say, it's a fascinating story. And by the way, people can read it over the Daily Memphian. The special events that they mention, the leading the sporting events basically lead the way. Like that is the MPD did not bill. I'm reading your words to you now, Sam. Did not bill $460,146 in sporting event overtime, and received only $24,000 basically in payments. Concerts were sort of next here. Anyway, it's fascinating, and seems important to be collecting every dime we can collect. Sam, I appreciate you taking the time. We'll read your stuff over at the Daily Memphian. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Sam Hardiman on Twitter, X. Oh, I don't think he's very active over there anymore. At Sam Hardiman.
I'm back.
Oh, you are. You're back. Okay, good. Thanks, Sam. You're still here, too. Thanks, Sam. See ya. On Twitter or X, at Sam Hardiman. You can read his stuff over at the Daily Memphian. We've got to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. If you are looking for a new financial institution because your current financial institution is, it's changed names three times, maybe it's irritated you with the way it fees on whatnot. Maybe it's, let's be honest, maybe its rates aren't what you want. Whatever it is, whatever your reason for discontent, and we've all been there, or maybe you're just looking for a mortgage or a car loan or something else, I would suggest you consult the folks at Leaders Credit Union, as we have. Claire has an account at Leaders. Her son has an account at Leaders. They got a branch in Bartlett. They got a brand new branch in Arlington, and I've said this a million times because it's true, and it persuaded me. It's why we went there, is that because they are a credit union, you are a member. You're not just a customer, and every single dollar they generate goes back into better rates, better service, better technology. And so whatever you want from your financial institution, and we want all those things. We want great service. We want great technology. We want great rates. Leaders is there for you. To learn more, go to leaderscu.com/ESP. And Jeffrey, a couple of other things we have not gotten to. I don't know if you see this. The Browns released more information on the stadium that they're planning on building outside of Cleveland.
Yes.
Cleveland is suing the Browns. Ever since they left and came back, it has not been a
Smooth operation.
And of course, it's the Haslams who own it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a dog in this fight. Like they want to build their new stadium, and it's only just right outside the city of Ohio in a place called Brook Park. And here's the thing. They're being sued under this Modell law. The Modell law, Art Modell, of course, moved the Browns to Baltimore.
He's a big fan. Everyone's a big fan of him in Cleveland.
The idea was that if you're going to move your team out of a publicly financed stadium or something, you either have to get permission or allow someone else to step in and buy it. And so that's what they're using to sue, right? But the Browns are saying, listen, that was meant to be if you're moving to Baltimore, not if you're moving to a suburb. It's not the same thing. And I'm sort of sympathetic to that argument. I haven't read the law.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I am sympathetic to the argument because it's not as if you're moving, you're uprooting the franchise. I think the bigger problem is, though, like Cleveland has tried to get them a stadium. The problem is the Haslams wouldn't own the area around it.
Yes, they wanted that whole thing.
Correct.
That's exactly it. There was a report today from Schefter, and I'm sure you're not happy about this.
No.
That the Titans trending, basically everyone now believes the Titans are going to take Cam Ward.
So I talked to your old buddy Joe Rexrode yesterday, and Joe obviously very plugged in with the Titans. He said he thinks that it's just trending to where they're going to make the pick and they're going to pick Cam.
So
now what I'm hoping is somebody trades up to two, not the Giants.
So
they take Shador.
So then Will Levis gets shuffled off somewhere, right? Yeah. Whatever. They get a fifth, sixth, seventh. Six,
whatever
seven.
Rosen got,
whatever. Yeah, they get the right. Rosen treatment. So then, yeah. What does it mean? Because the most interesting thing to me is what it means for the Browns and what it means for the Giants, because they then can't take Cam Ward and Shador has been said to be falling. Does this mean that one of those two teams is going to take Shador and Mel? As we know, yesterday. Had Shador, and it was all the talk on all the ESPN TV stations yesterday. You got prime time and Shador,
yes,
and the New York Giants in that market and the NFL. What the hell are you going to be talking about, right? And so how do you feel about that?
Greeny still found a way to talk about the Jets. I think I would, I guess, I'd talk myself into it.
Yeah, of course you
should. It's a new quarterback. Like, I've wanted a new quarterback.
He's accurate. He's gutsy.
Yeah.
He
knows how to play the position. Maybe you can get thick skinned over 9 months. That'd be nice. I think, though, for me, what I'm rooting for is somebody else trades up to two, takes Shador, then the Giants can draft either Carter or Travis. Honestly, I'd rather have Travis because I think Travis could be special. And then we sign Jameis, and I have a really fun, 5-12.
But what do you believe is going to happen?
They're probably going to either get Rodgers or Russell, and then...
No. You think Shador will now be two in the two slot one way or another?
So I still think, in the end, what the Falcons are gambling on is that someone's going to strike out in this quarterback shuffling. And... they paid Kirk Cousins real money, $10 million, but they paid him so they could hold on to it, and someone's going to strike out, and they're going, all right, you want Kirk, come get Kirk. You're going to give us something for Kirk. And so I still think he makes the most sense with Cleveland. And to me, then you're winding up, it's like, are the Giants going to go through the Aaron Rodgers ordeal? Are they going to get Russell Wilson and draft a guy? To me, it seems like if Russell's going to be your quarterback, right, you draft a guy. But my deal is, just get Jameis and draft a guy. I don't care.
I think the draft is becoming more interesting all the time, honestly. And interesting
just
for the Titans.
The NFL wants it.
Interesting for the Titans as, they try again, which I don't blame at all. I don't blame them at all. You get a quarterback, all of a sudden everything's different. We got to get out of here. Before that, I will remind you that Robert Irwin is having a stunning sale at their South Haven location this Saturday. It's only 6 hours. It's only 6 hours. Starting at 10 a.m. Saturday, the South Lake Center location in South Haven. Everything 60% off. Everything. Not some things, not selected things. Everything 60% off. starting at 10 a.m. That includes engagement rings. I don't know. It's nice to get a beautiful engagement ring. Nicer to get one, 60% off. Also designer jewelry, earrings, necklaces, gemstones, brand name watches, everything 60% off. Same great financing, by the way, as well. To learn more, you can go to rijewelers.com. But don't miss it this Saturday at the South Lake Center. Jeffrey, what's coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. They're going to be joined by Josh Pastner today at 11:45, and Coach Hurd will be with them during the third hour. Kevin Cerrito is with me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff will have Cobb at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for now. Work is done.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.